Firstly, could you run us through the current gun laws we have here in New South Wales and the process for getting a gun licence?
Yeah, so for in New South Wales, which is similar to other states, is that you need to be over the age of 18. You have to join a gun club. You fill in a number of forms. You then have to go through a shooting safety course. That needs to be approved. You need to go through criminal background checks. And if you're going for a handgun license, you get what's called a probationary handgun license for 6 months before being able to obtain a full license. So there are a number of procedures to go through, but what seems to have happened in this particular case is that Mr. Edwards has somehow kind of missed some of the checks and balances and has been allowed to obtain a firearm, or several firearms, I should say.
It sounds like a fairly thorough process. I mean, do we have any real indication of what kinds of safety nets, I guess, are there that means this kind of thing shouldn't happen, these kind of checks and balances shouldn't be missed?
Well, in this particular case, which has been raised in other cases, is that there is a lot of sort of trust involved at one level where a firearm applicant fills in a form and has to declare on the form whether they have a history of criminal violence or mental health issues. Now, that form is based on trust, where they tick a box to say yes or no. And what seems to have happened, obviously we don't know all of the facts yet, is that Mr. Edwards has ticked those boxes, possibly saying no when maybe he should have said yes. And then the firearm application has been sent up to the firearms registry, but there seems to have been no additional checking as to the background of Mr. Edwards and his circumstances. So somehow he's fallen through the cracks, and I guess it'll come out over time about how that has happened. But for sure, there are some troubles with the firearms registry and this sort of trust-based element to it.
I mean, it's rather bizarre. Obviously, we don't want to be treating all Australian citizens like criminals every time they apply for a licence for one thing or another, but you don't sort of rock up at the RTA and apply for a driver's licence. They say, can you drive? You can. Good. Fantastic. Let's put you through. I mean, there has to be some sort of checks and balances.
Well, that's right. And we all go through checks and balances for different scenarios. As you said, for licensing, when people work as a teacher and going to school, they have to go through similar checks. It's all about trying to prevent harm. And in relation to firearms, these are powerful weapons and obviously you need to regulate them in a sensible way. And of course, we're not saying that everyone that gets a firearms license wants to go out and hurt someone or shoot their children. Obviously, that is not the case. The problem is that we just don't know who will. And so what you need to do is maintain fairly strong and sensible regulation about how people obtain firearms.
Like, indeed, even myself in the past have looked at the kind of rules around getting a firearms license and joining a gun club, I must admit, and certainly I'm not out to hurt anybody, as you say right there. Looking at Gun Control Australia and I believe the Labor Party as well are on board with this, what kind of changes are you actually advocating for?
Well, what we'd like to see particularly is for those who commence proceedings in the family law courts for both parties to be checked to see if they have a firearms license, and then for investigation to be taken place to see if there are any concerns in regards to their safety, the firearm applicant's safety, or the safety of their family. We'd also like for spouses to be notified when a person puts in for an application for a firearms license or a permit to acquire any additional firearms when there are proceedings in the family court. Now, at the moment, in terms of the law, there's only questions about a firearms license when an AVO is put on foot. And what we're saying is that things happen before an AVO is put in place, and what needs to be checked is whether there are any concerns for the safety of families or for the firearm applicant before that happens.
And just finally, I mean, when we talk about gun violence in the news and media here, usually we're talking about gun violence over in the United States, and Australia's own gun laws are often lauded as a terrific example why we don't see the kind of incidents we see in the United States quite regularly. But this latest incident, it is very, very shocking. Do you think it will incite any legal changes?
Look, with any campaign or to change, is that you do need to keep the momentum going. Things fall out of the media very quickly. But we're hoping that today, actually, the police minister in New South Wales has called an urgent meeting with the police commissioner. And we're hoping to get our proposal onto that agenda. And so we're asking for the public to actually go to our petition on the GetUp website and to sign that petition asking for changes to family law and firearm laws across Australia.
Well, Sam, be fascinating to see what happens next. Obviously, you're quite right. It is very difficult to keep up the momentum in some of these cases. Do appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thanks very much for having me.